You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following message was presented by Dr. Wallace Schultz on the Lutheran Hour. It's titled, Good News from God to You. And now here is Dr. Schultz.
After two long years, it was finally over. On Christmas of 1814, the War of 1812 had come to an end. The Treaty of Ghent was signed. And this treaty is remarkable for this reason. It established the longest unguarded frontier in the whole world, the border between the United States and Canada. The Peace Treaty of Ghent, however, is interesting also for another reason. You see, this treaty was signed on Christmas Eve of 1814, and when we think of the words peace and Christmas Eve, we also recall that on the first Christmas Eve, 2,000 years ago, God was completing His own peace treaty. This is the peace treaty between Himself and all those of us who have rebelled and sinned against Him. Without this peace treaty of God, made possible through the sin-atoning blood of Christ, you and I have no real future. And without the resurrection of Christ, we have no eternal hope. You and I are sinners, and we deserve nothing from our holy and righteous God. However, on that first Christmas Eve 2,000 years ago, in His grace, God Himself made the first move of love toward us. In His mercy, He took the initiative. The Bible says that on the first Christmas Eve, there suddenly appeared from God an angel and a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men." Oh, my dear friend, let this peace of God that the angels announced at the first Christmas 2,000 years ago be your greatest gift and your greatest joy of Christmas 1995. Those family disagreements that have so separated you from your loved ones, those marriage tensions that have so torn apart that great love that you had for your spouse on your wedding day, and those wonderful relationships you used to have with people where you work or where you go to school, these joy-filled days can all be restored again. The restoration, of course, may not happen quickly, and it may not take place overnight. But God's powerful message of peace, given on the first Christmas, is as powerful and as effective today in 1995 as it was when it was first given. In Jesus Christ, God has forgiven you, and for the sake of the blood of Christ, and because the payment for all your sins and failures was made on the cross of Calvary, God is now willing to take you back and to call you His child once again. Oh, what a great and glorious Christmas gift this good news is for you. In addition, God is also offering you the power to forgive others just as He in Christ has forgiven you. And through this forgiveness, you receive the joy of Christ that even a $100 million lottery could never begin to provide. And it is for this reason also that the Apostle Paul writes, "Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you." Oh, how appropriate may these words be for your home at Christmas 1995. The good news of God's grace and forgiveness are some of the greatest words that anyone could ever hear. However, these precious words have been both used and abused. They have been used in greeting cards, and they have been abused by the Christmas merchandisers of materialism. The divine word spoken by the angel, announcing God's peace initiative unto all sinners, these words have been accepted by the majority of the Christian faithful. And yet, even they, yes, even these sincere believers, have often misunderstood these gracious words of God. Of course, we must admit that it is quite natural that when we hear the angel's message that Christmas will bring peace on earth, our initial understanding is that this peace is a cessation or a stopping of shooting or killing between two or more warring parties. And to be sure, God's peace initiative that He set forth in Jesus Christ can surely produce this type of peace. However, that peace that the angels announced on the first Christmas, when Jesus was born, was not a peace between man and man, but it was a peace between God and man. And this peace of God is the only peace that can replace the terrible anxiety that newspapers now tell us exists in the hearts of over 30 million people. And this peace of God is the only hope for the racial strife that the devil is now successfully planting in our population. This peace of God is the only hope for families and marriages where spouses are pitted against each other and children are alienated not only from their parents, but also from their heavenly Father. Oh, how desperately you and I, and all of us, especially at this Christmas season, need to be at peace with God. You see, the devil tempts us to believe that we are born basically righteous. The Bible, however, tells us in Ephesians chapter 2 that we are by nature children of wrath. In Colossians chapter 1 we read that by nature we are hostile toward God. Yes, we are even alienated from God. And therefore our natural situation as we face God is much more desperate and much more serious than you and I can ever begin to imagine. And unless this alienation due to our sins is changed, and unless it is bridged or reconciled, you and I will spend eternity in hell. But the good news, my friend, yes, the good news, the Bible says, is this: but God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through Jesus. For, the Bible says, if while we were yet sinners we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more then, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only this, the Bible says, but we also exult in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received this reconciliation. Oh, the good news of God's reconciliation was the center of the first Christmas when the angels announced Jesus' birth over Bethlehem. And this same good news has always been the center of every real Christ-centered and Bible-based Christmas celebration. For this reason, a real Christmas can come to the poor home just as well as to the house of the rich. And for this reason, the true and the lasting and the eternal joy of Christmas can come to the rest home and the retirement home, and the hospitals with the same joy and the same power that it comes to people who are physically fit. The true spirit of Christmas does not try to extol or to elevate or to promote our physical condition. A true Christ-centered Christmas is for everybody. It is for you, my friend. The Christ-centered Christmas transforms our spiritual condition, and where joy was previously temporary and fleeting, it now becomes permanent. Now, of course, we have to be honest, don't we? All the evidence in the newspapers and on television these days surely indicates that this Christmas season of 1995 has been very much like most other shopping extravaganzas of the last several decades. At a time of the year when God would have us be most at peace with Him and with our fellow men, and also with ourselves, we are often, instead, filled with the anxieties of this world. And so then we ask ourselves, what can I buy my child for Christmas? Will my boss be pleased with my little gift? What if we don't visit the correct relatives this Christmas? What are we going to do after Christmas when all the bills come in? How am I going to get back on my diet again after eating all the rich foods? What do I say if I don't get the present that I want from my parents? And our family seems to be getting along during these Christmas days, but when it is all over, will anger and arguments break out once again? Oh, these Christmas season anxieties and concerns can become like a dark and ominous cloud before our eyes, blocking out the good news and the great joy that the angels announced at the first Christmas when they said, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom God is pleased." Oh yes, my friend, God wants the best for you this Christmas, and He wants to establish with you a special relationship which will give you a solid foundation for faith. And then, upon this foundation, you can then build a life of true joy, not only for the 1995 Christmas holiday, but for the entire year of 1996. This new foundation and this new life built upon the Christ of Christmas will truly transform your entire being. The devil will also be driven away. Satan, of course, may continue to harass you. However, he will no longer be able to control you. And so then, even if it means sitting down alone after everyone else has gone to bed, it is the gracious will of God during this Christmas season of 1995 that you permit God's angels to tell you also not only what happened 2,000 years ago at the first Christmas, but something even much more important. The good news of God's forgiveness that now in 1995 can change your entire life. Of course, we need to remember that this complete change will not happen instantly and completely. God's gospel is like medicine. In fact, the Bible describes it as a balm. It takes a bit of time before the cleansing from sin and the total healing takes place. But you can surely trust totally in the promise of God. This healing in your heart and your soul, this healing will take place. And this is very important to remember because, you see, maybe you feel today like the people did before Jesus was born. You try to live a good life. You try to live a decent life. You strive to pay your bills. You make a special effort to get along with all the members of your own family. And yet, for some reason, you feel that you are not what you could be. And so then, my friend, let there be a total change in your life. And let there also be a new start. Beginning with this Christmas, let all those negative feelings be forever part of your past. And through the good news of the sin-atoning power of that little baby born in Bethlehem, you can now be fully assured that in Christ all of your sins and all of your shortcomings and your failures have been atoned for. They have been fully paid for in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then with this good news in your heart, you can then repeat the words of the ancient Simeon. Simeon, as you know from the Bible, stood in the temple and with the little baby Jesus in his arms, he raised his eyes to God and said, "My eyes have seen thy salvation." Oh, it was not that Simeon believed that this little baby in a human way could save him. Instead, Simeon understood by faith that this little baby Jesus was the complete fulfillment of the many promises of the Messiah in the Old Testament. And this little baby was the one who would shed his blood as a perfect gift for the sins of all people. And this is exactly what happened when this little baby Jesus grew up. He was then crucified on the cross of Calvary. The prophet Isaiah then explains that when God the Father saw the suffering of his son, he was satisfied. The peace treaty between God and man was then signed by the blood of the crucified Christ. And so the deep and lasting peace that comes from a Christ-centered Christmas is more than the warm feeling that a person feels after reading the poetry in a Christmas card or even the wonderful words from an old friend. The peace of a true Christ-centered Christmas is a peace that puts to rest those burdens of a guilty conscience and the deep anxieties of a troubled heart. This peace, which was made possible by the Christ of Christmas, also puts direction and purpose into our lives. Oh, indeed, let this good news of God's peace flood your heart today. And as you awake on Christmas Day, may all dark clouds be driven from your heart and be permanently replaced by the gift of the eternal light of the Christ child. All the loud sounds of secularism and all the voices of crass commercialism, let them too be drowned out by the beautiful echoes of God's heavenly host as they sing unto your heart today peace, mercy, love, and total forgiveness. At this Christmas time, by the power of God's Holy Spirit, greet your loved ones with a new smile of appreciation. And with this same spirit of gratitude, thank your Heavenly Father for all He has given to you and for all He in His grace has done for you. Let the Christmas of 1995 be truly the beginning of a new life for you and also for your family. And now perhaps you have not received all the gifts of materialism that your heart has wished for, but in Christ God has given you a gift, the worth of which far transcends anything money can ever buy, and the joy of which will outlast anything the whole world can ever offer. And so then, my friend, Merry Christmas. Don't look down any longer at the gloom and the doom of this world, but instead, look up to God with hope, and behold the angel and the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and may there be peace in your heart and also among all men. Amen.
Thanks for listening. We pray you've been blessed by hearing this message. This has been a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministries.